Turn with me tonight to the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. I want to minister there. I ask you to bear with me this theme that I touched the first time I was here and again this morning. The theme, what God is saying to me to preach this year, comes in different forms, different messages, but the theme is the same, that has to do with our destiny. A little song we used to sing, I have a destiny I know I shall fulfill. I have a destiny, it's in a city on a hill. It's not an empty wish, for I know that I was born for such a time as this. I'm trying to challenge you to find out your reason for existence. Would you stand with me in respect to the reading of God's word? The sixth verse of the 13th chapter, it said, he also spoke a parable. A certain man had a fig tree and planted it in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And when he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? Or why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said unto him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. I actually like the old King James better there. Until I dig around it and dung it. Hallelujah. Good word. Amen. And it bears fruit then, well. But if not, after that, you shall cut it down. God, I ask for your anointing to rest upon me. Let me preach like a man from another world, God, that lives may be changed and transformed. I'm not here, God, for entertainment purposes. I'm not here, God, to find my place. I'm here to deliver a message that you sent me to preach. Now, God, turn me loose that I can preach like a man from another world, and we'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. Look at somebody standing next to you and say, I do believe he's going to be preaching to you tonight. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise be unto the name of Jesus. I know that I'm in a church because of your past leadership and of your present leadership, that you are a people of the word. You study the word, studying to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you're a lot sharper than I am, but I've always been a little slow to get there. Now stick around, I'll get there. Maybe not as fast, but I'm going to make the trip eventually if you'll stay around. Now, I have read this passage of scripture at least twice a year for the last 42 years of my life. And I didn't really pick up on it. I didn't really grasp it. You see, if we're not careful, we'll read what we've heard preached, or we'll read because of our familiarity, and we'll not get the depth of what God is trying to say to us. I'm glad that he's beginning and ending, but I'm also glad of the depth of the word of God. Let me tell you something about God's word. If I could find an honest atheist, I could teach him that he doesn't have to be an atheist simply by this word, because this word is different from any other book. It's not just beginning to end, but there's depth in this book. 42 years, and I preach it, and I memorize, and then all of a sudden, God rips off a layer, and laying just beneath the surface is a brand new field to harvest truth. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. This passage of scripture, I read it for years, and I know you picked up on the first time where it said that a vineyard owner, a man that was in the grape business, he was in the wine business, he had a fig tree and decided to plant a fig tree in the midst of a vineyard. Now, that took me 42 years to figure that out, but I saw that and I had some questions after 42 years. What in God's name does an owner of a vineyard that is in the vine business, the wine business, why in God's name does he have to plant a tree in the midst of a vineyard? Amen. You see, if he plants a tree, tree in the midst of a vineyard, it's going to be a conspicuous thing. It's not going to be something that can be hidden. A conspicuous tree planted in a vineyard. Now, I know that doesn't excite you, but you know what God began to show me? God began to show me that He is the owner of the vineyard. Amen. He's the one that has owned it all. Can I tell you what? God owns it all. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what does God own? Why don't you start with the earth and the fullness thereof? Hallelujah. He owns. No, you didn't hear me. He owns it all. Why don't you look at the stars, the sun, the moon, and know that He owns it all? Did you know God owns everything? Amen. Hey, He owns everything you've got. Praise God. If I had time to preach, I'd tell you that God, because He's God, He lends to us, but God never surrenders ownership. Uh-oh, I'll have to preach that over here. I said, God never surrenders ownership. Amen. You see, God will lend it to you. Somebody said, oh, Brother Silcox, it's my house. You don't own a house. Amen. You fool around and die tonight and see who's living in your house this time next week. You're just borrowing it. You're just passing through. But I got a word for whoever moves in your house. Eventually, it's all His anyhow. Hallelujah. He owns it all. Come on, praise God. Oh, I need to tell you this. He owns you. Amen. I said He owns you. You belong to Him. He sought you and found you and bought you. Go back to Malachi and read where He said, I came and I sought you and I found you and I have purchased you. You are not your own. You are His. Hallelujah. But this man that owns this vineyard, he decides to do something different. You see, I think that we need to realize that our God, because of who He is, can decide at any moment to do something different than He's done. Are you looking at me? Some of you looking at me askantly. I want to tell you something. All this year, since the 1st of January, I don't know if anybody else has been sensing there's something moving in the heavenlies. There's something brooding in the kingdom of God. I believe with all of my heart that God is up to something different than He's ever done before in the history of mankind. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. I believe that God, that's why I said this morning, I thank God for my heritage. But I want you to know I'm not looking to where I've been. I am 60 and running your business years old. I will tell you this. When I was a child, I sat on my mother's knee and heard Brother Melvin preach and said, I want to be like him one day. Amen. I believe that God, I'm glad of where I came from. I'm glad of what I've experienced, but I believe God is about to do something in this last day that's a conspicuous thing, not something that can be hidden among the vines, something that's about to stick out that says God is up to a fresh, new, dynamic move of God. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, amen. Somebody said, where do you get that? He said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit. I believe God is about to open the windows of heaven. I believe He's about to knock us through a spiritual knot hole backwards and do something new and fresh and different. But I believe that he's planting a conspicuous tree, something new, something fresh. I can't hardly wait when I wake up in the morning. I instead of winding down, somebody said, when are you going to wind down? When they roll me down the center aisle, hallelujah, I'll wind down. But I wake up every morning and the atmosphere is alive with the word of God saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. Glory to my son, the end of it. See, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but he could go ahead and start it tonight at the Alabaster Church of God if he wants to. Amen. I am ready for something fresh and new. Yeah. Man, I feel. Does anybody feel God? Can you feel God in this house? I feel God. God is up to something. This vineyard owner decided, I'm going to plant a conspicuous tree. I want to tell you what God's about to do. Nobody's going to have to guess. It's God. I'll preach it over here. I said, what God's about to do, nobody's going to say, I wonder if that's God. No, friend, it's going to be so conspicuous that God has shown up to move one more time, hallelujah, and to draw a harvest to him. I don't know about you. I may have missed a revival or two, but I'm not going to miss the move of God in this day, hallelujah. He planted a tree in the midst of a vineyard. Let me tell you what. When God gets ready to do something new, he also provides for the newness. Glory to God. Brother, I'm glad you're here. You helping me preach tonight. Amen. I said, when God does something new, God provides. He is Jehovah Jireh. How would I find somebody who wants to preach tonight? He is our provider. He is the supply of all of our needs. Somebody said, what are you talking about? When he went out there and said, I'm going to plant something new. I'm going to plant something different. I'm going to plant something conspicuous. Everything that tree needed to produce was already provided for it before it was ever placed in the ground. Oh, Brother Silcox. If I was just younger, or if I was just older, or if I just had more money, or if I just had more time, or if I was just smarter, or if I just had more education. I want to tell you something, friend. When God gets ready to do something, quit worrying about what you've got and realize he wouldn't start a work unless he had already. Already provided. Whatever we need to have revival, brother, it's here in the house tonight. Whatever we need for a brand new ingathering of the harvest. You see, the tree has all the potential. The ground has the dirt, has the nutrients and all the vitamins. He that owns this vineyard also controls the rain and the sun and controls all of the weather. He says everything that this tree needs to be successful has been provided. So quit crying about what you don't have and look up and say, it's me, O Lord. Man, I wonder what would happen if about half of this congregation tonight were to stagger out here saying, I am a candidate to be a new thing. Man, whatever last week was, this week's not going to be. If we're to stagger out of here and say, I've got it. I've got everything I need. God has provided. He has not left one thing out of my life, and dare to challenge God to bring forth from our lives the fullness of the destiny that he's placed us here for. Am I preaching too fast for you? I'm slow down. But we'll be here all night if I slow down, so you better think I ought to go on. He plants a conspicuous tree in the midst of a garden, and he prepares what that tree needs to produce. Let me tell you what else he has. Not only is the tree conspicuous, not only does it have all the provision it needs to be all that God has set it up to be. You see, I believe the church has everything we need to do all that God wants us to do. Hallelujah. And then the next thing is that he has patience. Well, nobody shouting about that. Anybody beside me glad that we serve a God of patience? Have patience. Have patience. Y'all remember that? God has got patience. God has chosen you and 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 you. And somebody said, but Brother Silcox, it hasn't happened yet. And my word to you is, it's not over yet. Man, I'm about to be raptured here. Somebody said, but Brother Silcox, it hadn't happened. Your You're still here. You're still alive. He's still God. Hallelujah. And I can guarantee you this. God has not given up on the church. Hallelujah. Oh, I hear some preachers that's given up on the church. Well, the church ain't ever going to do anything but go down. I got a word for you. This is not your church or their church or somebody else's church. I'm talking about the church of the living God that was rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, that is full of the Holy Ghost. And this church is not going to go out with a whimper. It's going to go out with a shout and the glory and the voice of an archangel. I don't know where we got this eschatology that says things just gonna get worse and worse. Come on, Jesus, you better hurry up. We all gonna go to hell if you don't. No, we're not. Hallelujah. I hear preachers preaching like the church is some dilapidated old gal sitting out in the vestibule in her yellowed wedding garments, and the rats has eat her cake, and we got her hooked up to oxygen, and somebody said, man, I sure hope the groom hurry up and shows up. She ain't gonna be much. If you know, I got a word for you. That's not what this book said. He said he's coming back. The church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Let me tell you what, God has still has patience with us. Told you this morning, the preacher may give up on you. Your mama may give up on you. Your husband or your wife may give up on you. But I can assure you of one thing tonight. God. I said God has not given up. Glory to God. And somebody is going to wake up and say, let it happen to me. First of all, there's a conspicuous tree, a change. And then there is the provision of change. And then there's the patience of change. But then we have to understand that there is an expectancy. Yeah, I want that. I want revival, but hey, preacher, don't count on me tomorrow night. I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about, you know, my favorite program's on Monday night. You know, after a hard weekend going to church twice on Sunday, Monday night, you just can't count on me on that. But I want it. Praise God. I'm ready to be a conspicuous tree. Yes, I want revival. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm not fussing at you. I don't want to do that. I am you. If I talk down to you, I'm talking down to me. We are the body of Christ. Amen. You see, you may not like me that much, but I'm part of the crowd. Hallelujah. And it's foolish for me to put down on you. What I'm trying to get you to understand, that God, who owns it all and owns you and owns the tree and owns the circumstances and owns the prophecy of this day and time in which we live, you've got to understand that He expects you to be what He has destined you to be. Hallelujah. I'm struggling. Much shouting going out. You see, some of you have got the idea if I can just hold on to the end, I can just make it to rapture. Hey, honey, I am rapture ready. Oh, yes, I am. Somebody, I preached that the other time I was here. Somebody said, are you pre-post or first cloud that comes through town, I'm out of here. Do you understand that? Amen. Rapture ready. I'm going to go be. But what we have forgotten, that between our salvation and rapture, there is a divine purpose for our life. And some of us need to decide what God has us to do here before we decide to pack up and go there. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody said, I wouldn't go to China. I wouldn't either. Somebody said, I wouldn't go to India. Me either. Or any of the other 44 countries that God. But you see, I found out that God expects something in return for what He has done. I am not saved by works, but I am saved to work for the glory of God and to fulfill the call of God in my life. Hallelujah. grasping this. You know what I'm tired of? Y'all, my old family, y'all know I wouldn't. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of people that have to pray about everything. We're going to go witness. Well, I'll need to pray about that, brother. No, you don't. No! I ask you, come and go with me to carry the gospel into the world. No, I got to pray about it to see if God, you don't have to pray about that. Well, God didn't call me to missions, Brother Silcox. Now, I may send somebody. You show me that in the book. You gave you the get out of jail free card, but that's not in the book. The book says this: go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. If you are physically able to go, you don't get off the hook just because you pray and ask God to relieve your conscience. You see, God expects something out of you. See, if we ever learn this, if we ever grasp that we come in this house not just to sit there. I keep expecting some of these big churches I go into that they pass out the number pads. That song was a 4. That sermon was a 2. I heard Jake's do a better job than that. I want to tell you something. You're not here as a spectator. You're here to present yourself as a man or woman or destiny. That means lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt. Don't sit there when the altar call is given. I watched this morning. There was enough anointing in this house this morning to touch every man, woman, boy, and girl. And I watched some of you sit there and say, must not be me. Oh, yes, it was you. God expects you to get up and say, I want some more of that. I need some more. I'm hungry for some more. I desire all that God has. Because I want to be a part of this conspicuous thing that God is doing. God expects fruit. God expects us to bear fruit meet for repentance. God expects us to live this life. We talk. And I tell you what, if we choose not to, man, some of you looking at me like I'm questioning your salvation. I'm not questioning your salvation. If you said that I'm saved, I've been born again, I believe that, you're going to go to heaven. You get there, you're going to find out a lot of us are surprised who makes it to heaven. I'm not talking about going to heaven now. I'm talking about before we get to heaven, the plan that God has for our lives. And so God says, I expect fruit. And if you're not willing to do that, then he says to the husbandman, who is represented by Jesus Christ in this parable, that tends the vineyard and tends the fig tree, and he said, 3 years have I come patient. 3 years I've come. How many revivals have I come? How many times have I moved through the church seeking fruit? Oh, get them, preacher, if you're there tonight. No, seeking that we have fulfilled the calling of God that is upon our life. Calling is not just for preachers. God has a divine call for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this building. Some of you are administrators. Some of you, I wish I had time to tell you that. Somebody said, how in the world do you get to 44 nations and an active office in China? Because there's some people that woke up one day. I was preaching at the Meridianville Church of God one Sunday, and I looked out and saw a young man. He was a preacher's brother, and I looked at him. I said, David, carry me back to Birmingham to the airport. I need to talk to you. And I said, David, you're called. And David said, I'm not a preacher. And he's not. My God, he could not preach if his life depended on it. But he and his wife found their call and anointing of God to be administrators. They plan every trip that I make. By the way, that was something around 18 years ago, and David made a commitment. You see, we go out 2x2s. Nobody goes out by themselves because we're human and we're subject to the things that can happen in travel. David said, from this day forward, I'll never let you travel by yourself. For 18 years, every time I've got on a plane, David Byrd is standing by me, and that's the reason 44 nations later that we can say, look what the Lord has done. You see, it's not just preachers. Fruit. What has God trained you for? What has God called you for? What has God anointed you for? See, we've got to bear fruit. But then there is no disagreement. You see, there's newness, conspicuousness, there's provision, there is patience, there's all of those things, but there's also the agreement that if it bear not fruit, cut it down. Can I tell you this? We're not God's first choice. I said, we're not God's first choice. We were talking about this recently. I'm the youngest of seven kids born to James Hampton and Laura Mae Silcox. And I showed up an absolute accident. When you got six kids coming into the latter part of the 40s and made it through the Depression, living in South Alabama on 10 acres of post oak land that will grow nothing but sand and sand spurs. And the good news comes, you are expecting again. There was no party.
Hallelujah.
They don't have a clue what I'm talking about. There was no shower. By the way, thank God for settling that thing about those baby bottles out there. I thought some of you had heard how long I preached and thought some might pass out before and might. No, I won't go there. Hallelujah. That's what. My mother told me about crying for 9 months saying, why, God? Why? Where? Where's the means? Where is the provision? Wasn't it? She wasn't a loving mother. She loved me, but she didn't know what she was going to do with another mouth to feed. Oh, let me tell you what. I had an older brother that was called of God, that had an anointing of God upon his life that could have been used mighty. He had a mighty brain and a mighty ability, but one day said, I refuse to bear the fruit that has been invested in me through God's provision. Turned his nose up, walked away from God, not because God forsook him, but because he forsook God. But God said, I will not be shut up. That's not my first choice, but I'll raise up another generation and give them the anointing that, oh, come on, somebody, hallelujah. See, the reason we're here is somebody else wouldn't. I got a word for you standing in the wings. There's some snotty-nosed kid waiting to say yes to God. So he said, cut it down. You see, there was no disagreement between the husbandman and the owner of the vineyard. If the tree does not bear fruit, it has no right to exist. Somebody said, I don't understand in this word of faith movement, in this day of faith that we have, why so many Christians dying prematurely? We have the word of faith. We have the divine healing that was provided through the atonement of Christ. Well, y'all do still believe in healing here, don't you? Amen. I believe God's a healer. I believe that. Somebody said, then why? Why don't we see more? Could it be that in our desire just to get through, that we forgot there's something that we ought to do while we're getting through? And the agreement is, bear fruit. I love you, and I want you to love me back. But I didn't come here to get your applause. I came here to bear fruit, to bring forth. So he says, but aren't you glad? See, that's the introduction. I always have too much problem with the introduction. I can't get to the sermon. Aren't you glad that the husbandman says, I agree. Fruit or have it removed. But he said, give me one more year. And he said, let me work with it. The first thing that he says, give me a year. What are you going to do now that you haven't done, God? He said, I'm going to fertilize it. Right, see, y'all are so spiritual. You're going to have to get the spiritual eyes off of this. That's why I said I like the King James. I'm going to be careful. I ain't going to say anything that I don't have to repent of. But the King James says, because it is not bearing fruit, leave it alone and let me dung it. I'd tell you what it is, but they'd run me out of church. See, the King Jimmy guys didn't want to tell you what the dunging is. Let me help you. He said, I'm about to do... Wait. This is not the devil talking. This is not demons talking. This is the Father and the Son talking. And Jesus said, if I'm going to have fruit out of this tree, I'm about to have to put some stuff on it. Need to get plainer than that? I can. Brother Silcox, Jesus don't put bad stuff on us. I got a word for you. Jesus may not put it on you, but if you're a believer, he has to allow it to come into your life. Am I preaching to anybody? Am I preaching to anybody in this house? No, I know you want me to get up here and say, all is well. You ain't going to have no more problems. If you bear fruit, you're in pretty good shape. But if you're not, get ready. And it won't be devils or demons. It's going to put the mess out stuff on you. Man, I want to tell you what the stuff is. Now, some of you going, yes, that's nice. See, he's talking about dunging it, son. That's what he's talking about. That's nice. No, see, I want you to get real. Is anybody tired of playing church? Are you tired of coming and smiling and nodding because we don't get down to the brass tack? I want to ask a serious question. Think back over the last 12 months. Is there anybody here besides me that's had some... I started to say crap, but I'm not going to say that. Had some stuff. You've offended me. I don't care if I've offended you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you didn't ask for it. You wasn't looking for it. Just walking through life and just some stinky stuff dumped right on top of you. This may be my last night. Paula said it is if I don't get off of this pretty quick. I started this last year. Tried to go to China, did go to China. Most humiliating. I could not get from one plane to another without getting somebody to get a wheelchair. Went to China on a cane in such excruciating pain that for 14 and a half hours in the flight from Detroit to Hong Kong, probably half of that my wife will tell you I wept. Not over sold because I was hurting so bad I didn't think I could make it. Came back, the doctor looked, he said, look, we've got to do some major surgery. So he started, said, we've got to take care of this knee, and he replaced this knee. And then the first night that he replaced it, I'd fail. I didn't intend to fall. tore up a sciatic nerve. And I'm going to tell you what, if you ever never had a sciatic nerve, you don't know what pain is. I sat on the side of the bed and cried like a six-year-old child. Screamed, I didn't care who heard me. Got through that situation. Thought I was getting better with that situation. Had scar tissue formed, and they had to go back in and tear the knee apart to be able to make it walk again. And then I went back for my checkup, and my orthopedic surgeon looked at me and said, "What in God's name is wrong with you?" He's a spirit-filled believer. We go to church together. He said, "What is wrong with you, Curtis Silcox?" And I said, "Nothing. If I had to tell you, you do remember replacing my knee, don't you?" And I'm not talking about your knee. He said, "Something's wrong with you." He said, "Don't you go home. I'm sending you to an internalist." Sent me to an internalist, a good Church of Christ doctrine. He worked on me for weeks and on end, and finally came back. I think I told you the last time I was here, and looked at me and he said, I don't know what's wrong with you. I lost 60 pounds overnight. They thought I had cancer. They went and found lesions and took biopsies, and I'm still losing weight." Finally, the Church of Christ doctor walked out and said, "I don't know what to do." He turned back around and he said, "Is it all right if I pray for you?" Church of Christ doctor praying for me. He said, "I don't know where to turn." I said, "But I'm sending you to an international physician." He went to an international physician and he sent me to the lab and they drew 18 vials of blood at one time. I'm just going to tell you, you want to know what it is to lay awake at night and can't sleep and hurting and don't know why you're hurting, and stuff being dumped on you and you're blaming the enemy for that. But maybe it's God that says, you see, I need to put something on him that will stimulate him to be all that I've called him to be. You see, if God allows it to be put on you, it won't drive you away. It'll drive you closer to the side of our precious bleeding Lord. Hallelujah. Not one time did I say God is mean or cruel, but in the midnight hour I cried out, "Lord, I intend to serve you if I die." Whoa. Whoa. Is anybody feeling this but me? Is anybody getting this but me? Stuff. You know what? Stinky stuff. You can bear the stink. Is anybody going through some stinky stuff? Am I the only one that's had some dunging done to them? But you know what I found out, Melvin? Excuse me. We're first name. I know he's Reverend Massey, but he's Melvin to me. Do you understand? I found out that if you can bear the stinky stuff, the very stuff that's repulsive, if you'll let it dry and you'll let it go into the soil, the very thing that you thought was going to destroy you will begin to shoot strength into your being. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm trying to quit, but I want to tell you something. Hey, the worst thing, but it was 4 years ago, July the 28th, that my 31-year-old daughter, that was a great woman of God going all over the world singing, had just got back from Hawaii doing a revival there, and found out that she had cancer, and we went through a battle. She was pregnant, had twins, lost one of the babies. Then the other little boy that she was carrying, the doctor said, "There's no way in the world that you can carry him 28 weeks. We got to get him there 28 weeks. They'd give her chemo one day and have to give her steroids the next day. They'd tear down that little baby and then they'd build him up. They're never going to make it." But she said to me, she said, "Daddy, this battle's not about me. It's about this little boy, and I'm going to bring that little boy into the world." And she brought that little boy into the world. And when he was 4 months old, five, went to the hospital. If you had told me my daughter was going to die that day, I'd have told you you'd lost your ever-loving mind. Have you had faith? Well, you should have been there the day before when John Starnes, a dear friend of mine, when we were with Swagger together, John come in unexpected into the hospital, and there was about 20, 25 people there. I said, John, what you doing? He said, I just heard about Stephanie. He walked into the room impromptu, leaned over that bed and started singing. For about 45 minutes, the Holy Ghost moved, tongues, interpretation, the anointing. Watch my little daughter tremble under the anointing. I just knew she was going to be healed because I believe in healing. But the next day, she went to be with God. Somebody said, God didn't do that. God allowed it. Okay. I don't care if I'm messing with your religion. In fact, I'm a little fed up with religion anyhow. I said, God had to allow it. She was a believer. We were a believer. We had faith. But God had to allow it. Why did God allow it? I'll tell you this. I don't understand it. I do know this. God spoke to me one word. One word during that whole situation. He said, do you trust me? I know I'm preaching too long, but I'm preaching to somebody. Do you trust me? I said, God, you know I trust you. I've been 40 years at it, 40 years trying to prove I trust you. He said, I don't mean do you trust me if I give you what you want. He said, do you trust me enough that you know I love you enough and I love Stephanie enough I would never allow anything into either one of your lives? That you won't understand was for her good and yours. Still don't understand it. You living in Lala, don't come up to me. I understand. You don't understand nothing. I don't understand it. But I can tell you this, having walked through that valley of stinky stuff, the stinkingest stuff that's ever been put on me, I came out on the other side saying, if that's the best shot you've got, you're a day late and a dollar short. I hadn't drove me away from God. It's drawn me nearer to Him. I'm more determined to go to heaven today than I've ever been in my life. Somebody say amen. I'm asking you, preaching to you, there's been some stinky stuff, some smelly stuff put on you. Here's where I want to preach, and I got to quit. I wished I hadn't taken so long, because I really want to preach this, and I got to quit. If you come back tomorrow night. Then he said, not only will I dung it, we get so messed up with the language. He said, but I will dig around it. No, that's not what it says. Get you a Greek translation. When he said, that's what he said. He didn't say, I'll dig around it. He said, I'm going to put some stinky stuff on it. And then I'm going to disturb it. Disturb the tree. Tree's got too comfortable. The root ball is bound. If I leave it in its comfort zone, it'll die and never bear fruit. It'll be cut down and be a lost memory somewhere. But if this tree will allow me to disturb it, let me shake it some. Let me shake it to its very root. My life, since the last time you'd seen me, had been peace and easy greasy. Lots of money and no difficulties. I love you, buddy. I just love your spirit. But I've been disturbed. The age when I ought to be getting ready to enjoy whatever's left of this life, I'm disturbed. I didn't ask to be disturbed.
I didn't ask God to upset me. But
sir, hey, it's not the devil. I don't give him credit. I don't give him any glory. This is a work of God saying, I'm going to shake you until I can get you to the place where you can be all that I intended you to be. I wished I could come to church and it didn't bother me. If people don't come to the altar, I'm disturbed. I wished I could just get satisfied that some of the user-friendly churches can say there's nothing going to happen today that's going to disturb you in this. See, that's not my message. My message is if you come here, you ought to expect to be disturbed. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what you've done. There's more fruit. But it takes a shaking. I've rebelled against that shaking, but of late I've said, Lord, shake me if that's what it takes all the way to the ground level of my life that I can be all that you would have me to be. I want to fulfill my destiny. Go ahead and play for me. Anybody been dumped on this last year? Anybody had any stinky stuff put on you? Gave you the bad news? Children aren't getting along as well as they should. One year ago tonight,
right now,
after bearing that daughter, I had to go to court to get to see my grandkid. That little boy, bonded to her because his mother couldn't. We had him for the first year. And a year ago, I had to go and fight the privilege. I'm talking about stinky stuff.
Well, you must be cussing and drinking and smoking. No.
No. You must be living an adulterous life. No. I've made mistakes, all of us have, but no. All I've done is just try to seek God. And God said, it's not enough for you just to make it. Not enough just for you to get there. See, in my case, I have to go to China and to India and to Thailand and to Cambodia and to Europe and Iceland, Brazil and Guatemala, Nicaragua. Do you have to do that to go to heaven? No. What do I offer him? To have lived and died. See, the biggest lie ever hatched out of hell is written on the majority of tombstones in America. You know the number one epitaph in America? It's a lie. You write that on my tombstone, I will come back and haunt you. Gone, but not forgotten. Go out and look. They're gone and completely forgotten, the majority. You know why? Because all they were interested in is getting there.